Oh, listeners, we're going to be talking to Judy Yao, and I'm happy to be talking to her. I'm very happy to learn of this new program from Wolf Fish, which is like one of my most favorite companies. I mean, we use them regularly and have for how many years, Rabbit? Six?
Some.
When we started, they had the subscription boxes. But anyhow, so we're happy with that. And when Wolf emailed me that they're now offering a fish and turf offering with the special bread steak beef, I was hesitant because I was telling Judy before we started the recording that I have judged the beef contest, where the same product from different producers really was shocking. So my hopes were not that high, but I was so pleasantly surprised. It is scrumptious, the beef from this. Tell us about what we're talking. Tell our listeners what I'm rambling on about, Black Hawk Farm. Give us a little brief introduction to Wolf, by the way, in case people don't know.
Absolutely.
Wolf. They should. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm so glad to hear you enjoy the beef. But, so Wolf's Fish, we've been around since 1920. We started as a neighborhood fish market in Brookline, Massachusetts for many, many years, sourcing the best fish possible. You know, it started by Sam Wolf. He will, go down to the fish pier very early in the morning to make sure he gets the best stuff. In 2016, as people's sort of diet and buying patterns change, we'll shift our focus more towards providing fish to chefs. And then in 2020, when the world is turned upside down, we wanted to expand, our offerings and make sure, people who missed us in Massachusetts and beyond and are able to sort of buy the fish again, and especially at the quality that we supply our chefs. And so we started, our e-commerce program. Platform, so we ship to anywhere in the United States.
When we started it, they actually had mm-hmm. subscription boxes, and we signed up for that. I was a little hesitant because, listeners, the fish is frozen. But any idea you have about avoiding frozen fish is wrong because mm-hmm. This stuff is great. Why is it so great, Judy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think with frozen fish, typically when we think of frozen fish, you buy fish from the market, you cut it up at home and you freeze in your home freezer. But what that does is it's not cold enough to properly preserve the freshness of the fish. So it forms these ice crystals that, really affects the taste and the texture. But what we do here is that, we take the fish that's straight from the pier, we butcher them, process them ourselves, and we vacuum seal them, and we flash froze them in these commercial grade freezers that go really, really, really cold, so that we lock in that moisture and flavor before it even reaches our customers. So now you can get the delivery, put it straight in your freezer, and it's going to stay fresh until you open it up and enjoy it.
When I say I don't know how I ever lived without it. I order a ton of fish from Wolf every month and plop
it
right in
the
freezer.
Thank you for your support.
if I heard what you said correctly, mm-hmm. you didn't start out as a fishmonger.
Personally, I did not. Yeah. So I, my background, I started actually in the meat side of, the food world. So I'm a trained butcher, and I actually started with, I was trained under the butcher for, that was the personal butcher for Julia Child, actually, up in
who was
Cambridge.
That?
Mm-hmm. It's called Savners.
Oh, I don't know anything about mm-hmm. it, but So that's how you got. Where were you living? Were you in New England or were you on the West Coast?
Yeah, it's in. I was in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So
okay, so you're
like
still
right
there,
outside
yeah.
of Boston. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well, that's interesting. I mean, you were a whole animal butcher.
Yes, I was. But, you know, I grew up actually in Taiwan at this city called Kaohsiung. So it's a harbor city. So seafood was really all, part of my destiny, really.
Yeah, right. So mm-hmm. Now they go along, they get unusual offerings and so forth and so on. Yeah. The wolf, they have a lot of fish. A lot of different kinds of fish and a lot of seasonal offerings. Now, what mm-hmm. made them decide suddenly, I got this email, which threw me for a loop, saying that they were not going to do this fish and turf, as other people know it, as surf and turf. And you were pairing fish, you're pairing mm-hmm. lobster with this steak. And I thought, oh dear, because I, as I said to you, I mean, the range of quality in
for sure
in this, it really depends on the producer, I don't know, but you have somebody called Black Hawk Farm. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that. I mean, I'm interested. I didn't know it. It must be a big undertaking to start sourcing beef, steaks, beef bacon, a burger, I mean, ground beef, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And tell us a little bit about their practices and what they produce, what kind of beef.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think it completely makes sense, the question of, a fish company and providing beef, what does that mean? And I think it goes back to kind of what we do when it comes to sourcing our fish. Or this is not a sort of light decision. We didn't, just pick any farm. Like Black Hawk is someone, we see this as more of a collaboration where, we trust Black Hawk's practices when it comes to raising the best possible surf and turf, the turf option that we provide our customers. So Black Hawk, they're based in Princeton, Kentucky. And what is very, I think, key and sets them apart is that they own the entire operation. Everything, it's what's called vertically integrated. Right. So
it makes a difference. Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. Everything from what they, the cattle gets fed from what's grown right on the farm. They're never, a lot of times in these kinds of, in beef meat industry in general, animals get transported hundreds of miles and it's, causes stress that affects the quality of the meat. They also worked with the University of Kentucky to create these open air barns that make sure these cattle, they're happy, they're in a clean environment. So no antibiotics or hormones are needed to sort of maintain, make sure nobody gets sick. And so it's a really, really intentional farm practice that you don't see much really in the meat industry.
Remember the farm in England, rather, where mm-hmm. You went with the owner of the what I don't know, was a B&B kind of thing, but
you're
they also raised pigs.
Talk about Tina and Tony.
Yeah, and Tony told you mm-hmm. rode with him to the slaughterhouse, and he explained to you about how he liked to make sure that the animals were happy and mm-hmm. weren't frightened and we were kind of joking around it, but it makes a difference apparently in what they secrete, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because when animals get scared,
The way that Tony explained it, it was like mm-hmm. he created an environment where the pigs were on vacation.
Zap!
That sounds fantastic.
This place was wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it's One of the things is it's a vacation where there are no children allowed. People who really want to get away from their kids could go to. But no, when they accidentally got into this pig rearing thing, he thought these little black pigs were cute. And so he bought a couple for his wife, you know. And all of a sudden he had a gazillion pigs.
Oh my goodness.
They breed real fast.
Yes, indeed. It starts with one or two, yeah.
But they had a country house that we stayed in, but as we drove up, the pigs were on a breakout. So there was a huge herd of brown cows that ran across the road in front of us as we pulled into the driveway.
But
you've got some special tricks too, which you haven't talked about yet, in terms of the sourcing, because you're dealing with breeds that are really valued.
Mm-hmm. Not that we haven't had bad examples of that breed. Tell us about the breed and what.
The American Wagyu. Yeah. So American Wagyu is really special because, you know, I think we've heard of, you know, the Japanese Wagyu with this marbling. It's basically, you know, it looks
massaging nice, with right? beer and stuff.
Yeah. Right. It's amazing. But American Wagyu, usually it's, you know, taking a full-blooded, you know, Japanese Wagyu and you cross it with, like, typically it's an American, like a Angus. And so you create, a crossbreed. Usually, you know, if it's just, it's 50% Japanese, 50% Angus, you create what's called an F1. So it creates...
Well, somebody explained that to us by saying that the Angus were lousy mothers.
No,
I'm sorry. The Wagyu were lousy mothers.
Wagyu.
So they implanted the fetus into the what do you call it?
The Angus.
American. Yeah, I mean, is that true?
I have heard some in terms of like rearing, but I'm not too sure. But that is interesting. I think I might look more into that.
I didn't know that they actually genetically were blended. I thought they transplanted the Wagyu fetuses into the Angus cows. I don't know. I could have that wrong.
Yep.
But
I think it depends. Yeah, it depends on the. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was in Texas, I think. But you could tell from looking at this. I mean, they always talk about how marbled the Wagyu is. I mean, this is really marbled. It's gorgeous. Your beef.
Isn't it? Yeah, and it has to do with, you know, not just the genetics, but just the way also the cattle is raised, right? So you create this beautiful product because, you know, they're well taken care of. They're given diet that is, you know, intentionally grown on the farm, not imported from anywhere else. And so it's the combination, taking care of that, the animal, plus its, you know, superior genetics that's very intentional when it comes to the raising process.
What do they do special with these that make them happy with the cows?
Yeah, so you know these cattle they graze on open pasture. They start on the pasture, and then you know they're moved. You know, for finishing, they're moved into these open air finishing barns. Like I said earlier, they work with a local, you know, University of Kentucky College of Agriculture to come with a state of the art, you know, barn that's open air, right? So, you know, you don't have, you know, a lot of times in, you know, industrial farming or farms that, you know, don't really pay a lot of attention to welfare, you get, you know, these closed in barns, there's fumes, right, from waste. It's just not really great for the animal. So there's that side. And then the other side is that because it's vertically integrated, these cattle, they have familiar handlers, right? They have people that they know that take care of them,
really?
That treat them well. And that makes a huge difference on the stress level, And so,
really,
you know, that's, it's very, yeah, it's super, super cool. And so, you know, and every day, you know, they use sawdust from a local mill, to, you know, make sure that everything is clean, and what's left over from the sawdust and the manure gets turned into compost for, their, you know, the grains and the crops and the, you know, everything that they grow for the animals. So it's a wonderful cycle, that's sustainable and also great for the cattle as well.
Have you been there?
You know, I am planning to. It was, I think, when we first, when we started the partnership, it was like deep when, you know, last year. And so it was a little too cold for me to visit and during the holidays. But I do plan on getting there, you know, this spring, to see it for myself. But, you know, we had, you know, Andrew from the farm come over and we cooked the steaks. We talked about it. We chatted and, you know, and it was what, you know, won us over.
Aren't they good? Aren't they fabulous, huh?
Yeah.
Now, do you actually do the butchering, or does the farm in Kentucky do the butchering?
Yeah, so Black Hawk Farms does the butchering, and then they, you know, send it over to us. So everything is, you know, done, you know, on the farm by Black Hawks, by their expert butchers, and then we receive it and then make sure that it's, you know, perfect and wonderful for our customers.
But do they freeze it as well?
Yeah, it is fresh frozen the same way. You know, quality is locked in the same way in the super freezers. Mm-hmm, exactly.
No, when you were suggesting this as a program, let's clarify. Mm-hmm. Listeners, you can order just the beef, can't you? Without getting
absolutely
surf. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, it's such a classic combination, but absolutely. If you are, you know, not a fish eater, you just want some really good quality steak, you can absolutely just have that.
It might be a stretch, though. I mean, Wolves has been a seafood place for so many years. I mean, how did they get up to speed with all this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when it comes to offering, you know, the turf aspect, because it's such a classic combo, we want to make sure that is sort of available for those that are looking for surf and turf, but they don't have to look far for, you know, quality that is, you know, for quality that is, you know, comparable to the way that we source, you know, our fish as well. So that's why, you know, we have this collaboration with Black Hawk. So their expertise bring us this, you know, wonderful steak to complement, you know, the fish that we source that has this high quality to go with it.
Tell us a little bit more about beef bacon.
About what?
Isn't it a cool?
It's really kind of cool. It's really funny. Our granddaughter, who's now, how old is she? She's not 16?
17.
And she loves bacon.
Anything with bacon.
I don't want to surrender our prize bacon. I want to make sure it's worth making sure that she doesn't get any.
You've got to try the beef bacon as well.
We haven't done that yet.
We
did the steaks
yet,
and we did the we did our own surf and turf. I can't remember. We used the ground beef patties and coupled it with some kind of fish. What was it? What was our surf in that one, Rabbit? It might have been octopus, come to think of it.
I think it was.
Wonderful.
Yeah, octopus. Octopus and burgers.
Very cool.
It's a little off
that's
the chart, too.
It was a very special day when we had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. So, yeah, no, I love the beef bacon. I think it's so, it's so interesting. I remember, you know, I think we were taste testing, and one of my colleagues came over and said, hey, you want some bacon? They said, this tastes, you know, very different. You know, like, what kind of pork? I'm like, no, it's not pork. It is American Wagyu. It almost, you know, it has a little bit of that, you know, like almost like jerkiness to it, you know, because of the beef. But the Black Hawk, you know, the Wagyu fat is just so clean tasting that
yes,
it's beautifully rendered. And so, you know, you have this like crispy, like delicious, clean tasting, like, you know, beefy bacon that is just, you know, out of this world. We've been snacking on it at work.
you have to taste test it after all, right?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, how do you get that? I mean, it's you just go on and just put together an order from the website.
Yeah, you know, go on. Exactly, wolfstitch.com, and then under the category of surf and turf, you'll see, you know, the New York strip, ribeye, patties, beef bacon, and add a filet mignon option as well. But we're going to keep it at, you know, a small selection like that. That is, you know, classic cuts that are great to complement seafood, so that, you know, we make sure that, you know, when people come for surf and turf, like, this is the one place to go to put your box together and really enjoy it.
Yeah. But what about this learning curve? I mean, of course, you already had the background in the the meat. But, I mean, nobody else would have had that kind of background in Wolf's, would they?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. So most of us actually come from, you know, various parts of the food industry. You know, we have lots of chefs, actually, that works at Wolf. So, you know, we have, you know, deep background in just handling various, you know, ingredients in general. But, yeah, but I would probably say that I have slightly more of a, you know, butchery background. But, yeah, many of us have experience with delicious ingredients and meat.
Well, I mean, it's a winner as far as I'm concerned. Now, I mean, if you're not going to do lobster, and most people aren't going to do octopus, what else would you suggest with this?
You know, like, I think very classic combinations, you know, try the, you know, the Debo scallops, you know, wrapped with in beef bacon. I think that would be really, really interesting.
Ooh,
and then... Exactly. And you know, what's cool about the beef bacon is, you know, when you open it up, you'll notice that it has a larger fat cap included. So I would suggest for, you know, you can trim off the fat a little bit, but keep the fat because, you know, that's great for...
Oh, render, you know, it. Great.
Rendering, exactly. But the rest of it, once you trim a little fat off, it's the perfect size to wrap around the dayboat scallops. And then, you know... Lobsters are classic. Shrimps are great, easy. You know, you can saute some, you know, or summer you put it on the grill. Very easy way to do it. And same as squid. And so, those would be my big, you know, classic combo suggestions.
Yeah, you might tell our listeners the website to go on, and you can order right off the website. And their delivery schedule is very accommodating. It runs 3 days a week, but they're right on schedule. That's one thing that I've been very impressed with. A lot of e-commerce gets really muddy over when the product's going to be delivered. And, you know, nowadays, they deliver it onto your front porch and somebody steals it, you know. So what's the website and what's the process here? Do you have to...
Yeah, so
open an account or what?
Yeah, no. So you can just go to wolfsfish.com. That is wulfsfish.com. And you can, you know, once you enter the site, you can add things to cart, and then the checkout process will be very seamless from there. And we do, you know, recommend joining our Chef's Tables rewards program. So you immediately start collecting your points there, and you'll be able to redeem it for free fish, you know, once you get to certain points. And so it's a very streamlined, and we really work hard to build a site that is as easy as possible.
It is.
To order
it really works. It works.
Thank you so much.
I'm, I'm very awkward on the online ordering, but I managed to get everything, don't I, Rabbit?
Yeah, you do. You do.
But I mean, I'm thinking maybe we should order lobster tails and cook them with the bacon.
Ooh, wow!
Sounds
good.
I like the sound of the scallops.
The scallops?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have scallops in the refrigerator.
We have some in the freezer.
From Wolf's, by the way.
From Wolf's.
Lovely, thank you. Yeah, no, that would be great.
And we can't buy meat and fish from anybody else. That would be illegal.
Well, of course, what we love is the salmon bellies. I mean, we love the salmon bellies.
Oh, yes.
But I guess you
it
had a run
best,
on those because you've cut the size of them. So now I'm ordering two of them always.
we just got some salmon bellies from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen the Ora King regular salmon cut, but we hadn't seen it before as belly.
Yeah.
And the other ones we like are the Loch Duarte from Scotland.
Yeah, we like that.
Oh, yeah. I love Loch Duarte. It is just wonderful. Yeah.
We're big fans, as you can tell. And, I mean, we always have a freezer full of it, so...
thank you.
Anyhow,
thank you
something
much.
New for us to get is the turf side of it, and I'm really impressed. And I thank you for introducing us to that great quality of Wagyu beef.
Thank you.
You sound like you're happy working there, and I hope so because you're so useful. I hope you stay a long time.
I certainly plan to. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, it's.
How long did you have
you
been
food? Actually, since fall. So I'm fairly new, but I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, just really impressive. I'm proud to be part of a company that is, you know, just really always trying the best to source and great food for people. So
I'm anticipating a question that's someone coming from out of the blue and thinking about buying some
surf and turf.
Buying some surf and turf, but how long should people really keep it?
You know, I would say because it's super frozen and vacuum sealed, we typically, you know, give it, you know, up to a year, but you know, I personally, you know, if something's in my freezer, I'm going to eat it, especially if it's, you know, Wagyu beef and seafood. And so, you know, I would say like, you know, within a couple months, I think it's the best that way, you know, you try it, you know, enjoy it and make sure it, you know, it is, you know, at its, you know, peakness, all the time. But, we set the date about a year, but, if it's good food, I'm not going to wait too long.
don't worry about that aspect of it.
Sign up for that chef's rewards or whatever it is, because I sometimes get like $60 refunds. So you can imagine how much fish we buy. don't be shy. Just sign up and there you go. Judy, you've been wonderful, and so is the new product and the new direction of the surf and turf with the Wolf's Fish. And listeners, you're missing out if you don't get on their list and see what they're always offering new things from around the globe too, which is great. You heard us say we got such and such from New Zealand, and we got something from Scotland. It's great, the best of the best. Thank you again, Judy, for talking to us, and keep the good food coming.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anne and Peter. I really, really, really appreciate your support, and very happy to be chatting with you.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy with Wolf, so there we have it both ways. Thank you. Well, have a great day.
All right, well.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Listeners, you know, there, sometimes you hear about how things are good for you, but you really are not that interested in consuming them, food I'm talking about in particular. But we have an exception today. We're going to be talking to Sarah Kelly, who is the, we call it, is it Public Relations Director or Communications Director for Seasons, the company Season. And we've been eating seasoned sardines with no fatigue of the taste buds or palate at all. They're really delicious. Tell us a little bit, where are you located, Sarah? I couldn't find that information.
Sure, yeah. So our company is based in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. We actually started out over 100 years ago in the Northeast, and we're still located in New Jersey. That's really the bread and butter of our business.
Huh. Who thought of New Jersey for sardines, huh?
Well, it actually, the company was started by a Polish immigrant named Isaac Epstein, and he came over and he really introduced sardines to the area, and he built this phenomenal business over the past 100 years, and we've been able to continue that legacy into today. And actually, most of our sardines come from Morocco, so we import them from that country.
Oh, okay. I thought you had two different kinds of fish. That was another small fish because of smash. What is smash, and how is that different from seasoned sardines?
Yeah, so smash is a trend of eating, you know, types of fish that are smaller on the food chain. They're typically healthier for you. They, you know, perhaps have less mercury. So, you know, it's really an array of different types of tinned fish. So, you know, sardines, mackerel, anchovies. Typically, you would see salmon in there, although that's not part of our lineup, and herring. So we basically have all of those except for the second S. We specialize in sardines, but we also offer the anchovies. Mackerel is a very very much a growing category for us, and herring as well. We do kipper snacks that are in, you know, plain oil and also peppered and with no salt. So we really do have a variety of products to appeal to a wide variety of consumers.
You have every conceivable form of sardine that I ever saw in my life.
That's so true.
You can get them smoked, you can get them in oil, you can get them without oil, you can get them salt-free, you can get them in tomato sauce, which is Peter's mother's favorite. How did that happen, Rabbit? Tell about your mother's.
It was a meat substitute, I think you would describe it as, probably. And it came in quite big tins in tomato sauce. And my mother would, this preparation was mash them all up together and then paste them on toast.
Yeah. She was not much of a cook, I can attest to that fact.
But sardines are the perfect, as you said, meat substitute, really, because they're so easy to prepare, they're shelf-stable, they're really a great pantry item, and they've really withstood the test of time. What's really fun for us is that we see different generations coming up to us and saying, oh, you know, my mother, you know, ate your sardines, or my grandmother, and now I eat them. I have them in my pantry. So it's really cool to see that lineage, and it's cool to see how different consumers throughout that length of time are preparing them. You know, we still see a lot of consumers today having them on toast, putting sardines on crackers, making a pasta dish out of them. And even still, a lot of consumers are still eating them straight out of the can. You know, when you come home from a long day and you're tired, you're looking for something that's really going to satisfy you, there's really not much of a better option than having sardines, because they just have so much protein, so many omega-3s. It really is a superfood in a can.
Now, the thing that always turned me off was the English version of canned sardines. They left the bones in.
Oh, yeah.
And you were supposed to
chew them.
Scrunch them. You were supposed to scrunch the bones in with the fish flesh. And that was supposed to be appetizing. I got news for you.
I'm sure
they're wonderful. Where are they fished for? I mean, who does the important preparation that says, I got these sardines, I just fished them off the Grand Banks or wherever it was, and now I'm going to do something with them. Where do they come from?
So the majority of our sardines come from the North Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Morocco. We have really long-standing relationships with our suppliers, and really we've actually used them as inspiration in our rebrand. So we've recently redone our logo, and in our logo, if you're familiar, we have a sea maiden. She's really the face of Seasoned Brand, and we really wanted to highlight all of the women who are working behind the scenes in filleting our fish, making sure they look beautiful in the can, the perfect fillets. And so we've really kind of highlighted that into our rebrand just to show the trust and the level of dedication that it takes to get these beautiful skinless and boneless fillets packed so beautifully in the can.
Where are the fishermen? They're mostly in Morocco?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're fishing off the coast of Morocco in the North Atlantic Ocean, and that's actually where most of the world's sardines come from. Morocco's actually the world's leading producer of sardines.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that.
I mean, this is our 21st year of doing this podcast, and I learn something new every interview we do. I never had a clue about that.
Would it be fair to say that they're fairly easy to catch?
Yeah, so typically, I mean, sardines swim in very large schools. So, you know, typically they're smaller fish. They're much more plentiful than, for example, tuna. They're more sustainable. We are seeing, you know, different varying levels of catches within the past year or so. But typically, historically, sardines are much easier to catch than tuna, and they're much more sustainable. As I mentioned, they're a smaller fish, so because they're smaller, they do have a lot less mercury. They have about 4 times less mercury than tuna typically. So it's definitely a fish that you can feel comfortable eating, feel comfortable serving to your family, and knowing that you're getting all of those superfood benefits without, you know, the high levels of mercury to be concerned about.
Right. Because, I mean, I was really startled. I mean, I've always heard about the mercury in fish, but never paid much attention until I saw the pregnant warning for pregnant women not to eat mm-hmm. all these fish. You know, when I was pregnant, I think I ate it all. I mean, I don't
know. And it's amazing how things change over time, exactly.
Yeah. But when you say it's shelf stable, what does that mean?
So that means that all the cans are, you know, vacuum packed. They're perfectly preserved. So, you know, typically our sardines packed in oil or water will last, have a shelf life of about like 3 to 5 years, around 4 years. So, you know, it's something that is great to stock up on, whether you go to a club store like a Costco or a BJ's, or, you know, if you stock up at your local supermarket. We actually sell a lot of our sardines now on Amazon. So we're seeing a lot of people, you know, just stocking up on their favorites and just having them ready to go whenever they're looking for a protein source to, you know, put on toast or use in a salad. That's actually typically how I eat the sardines and mackerel. I at least once a week have a Greek salad that I make, and I just throw on my sardines, skinless and boneless on there, or my mackerel fillets, and it's just so easy rather than, you know, potentially cooking up chicken or something, another protein source on the salad. It just fills you right up, and it's so easy.
Well, you know, I've loved tinned fish for as long as I can remember, but if we went through that phase where all these the gym rats were eating canned tuna and water, and I frankly got really tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of tin fish is much more attractive to me. But you mean that it's shelf stable before you open the can? You still have to put it in the refrigerator.
Correct. Yeah, so, you know, it's shelf stable in the sense that it's fine to be in the pantry, and then once you open the can, if you were to preserve it, you would put it in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I mean, how do you think of all these? You must have a really interesting R&D program and meetings to come up with all these ways of serving up this one little fish.
We do, absolutely. Yep, so we're always thinking of, you know, new ways to consume sardines, you know, new pack formats, new product innovations. And actually, within the past 2 years or so, we've been doing a lot of consumer research to figure out what are the drivers, barriers of consumption of tin fish, you know, specifically sardines. You know, what do consumers like? What do they not like? How can we frame sardines in a way that's approachable to everybody? Because, you know, one thing that we found in our research is that there is definitely a stigma of sardines. You know, oftentimes consumers think, you know, it's smelly or it's fishy, or perhaps they don't know exactly what the sardines look like. They wonder, you know, if I open a can, am I going to see a head or eyes or tail?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, for us, it was definitely a good learning, and that's why we did our rebrand, and we focused a lot more on education of, you know, why sardines are so healthy, how much omega-3s they have, you know, the fact that they have less mercury, and also just showing the forms of the fish. So on our packaging now, we've actually added the picture of what the fillets look like, just showing they're a beautiful, mild fillet. They don't have the heads, they don't have the tails or anything like that. So there's nothing to be scared about, and just to really educate consumers so that they know what to expect when they open the can. And we're seeing that pay off really nicely. We're starting to see those packaging pack sets come on shelf, you know, this quarter, and that's really exciting for us.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that your timing is okay still, because it used to be when you would have a really broad field of, like, very little competition. Now, everybody's making tinned fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't the market really tightened?
Well, so for us, we're seeing a lot of really great growth. And for us, it's just wonderful because I think, you know, all of the different brands out there are just really hyping up the benefits of tinned fish, which is always music to our ears. I think for us, we just want to educate people, and we want them to make informed decisions about the foods that they eat. So the more that consumers know about tinned fish and all the different types of options that are out there, it's just, like I said, music to our ears. So we're seeing consumption go up. We're seeing people try tinned fish in many other different ways than they normally would have. We're seeing consumers that are younger and younger eat tinned fish and post their recipes on social media. So, you know, it's really
an exciting
time.
Somebody sent me a tinned fish cookbook.
Yeah.
I have a tinned fish cookbook. We never did the interview of that, but I have a cookbook with nothing but tinned fish.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of those coming out. So it's really awesome just to see all the excitement, especially for us as a 100-year-old brand.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a place to work, like, how many people, how big a company is it, and how many products do you have and so forth?
Yeah, so we're a small but mighty team. We have specifically on the season team about 11 of us. And we also recently were purchased by a Moroccan company called Mutandis. So they're our parent company, and they're very large. They're located primarily in Casablanca. And they actually, really, it's an umbrella of an operation. So they produce, you know, different juices for the Moroccan market, different types of snack products, detergents. Also, they have their own fishery, so it's really an end-to-end business in that we're able to source our fish from them, so it works really nicely. And they've been able to help us with our consumer research and really just understand those drivers and barriers of the consumption. So they've really been able to kind of take our business from from 50 to 100, so to speak. You know, the investment that they've put into us has really been helped us to take us into the 21st century in terms of what we do in, from a marketing and innovation perspective.
What's it called?
Mutandis.
How do you spell that?
Sure. It's Mutandis.
What does that mean?
Is it a Portuguese company? It's a Moroccan company. It's actually, their tagline is Accelerator of Brand, and that's exactly what they're doing.
I see. Huh. Interesting. You're a marketing director. What do you do to, what market are you really currently targeting? It has to be more than one market. And what are you doing to get to that market?
Yeah, so for us specifically, you know, we're going after those who are consumers of tuna, believe it or not, because we're trying to educate those consumers about the health benefits of sardines, because we believe that, you know, they are likely to consume them. They just don't know, again, about all the health benefits of sardines. So that's our primary target. We're always looking at the ages between, I would say, you know, 30 and 50. That's really our primary demographic. We're always looking at both genders. We look to everyone across the country, but we've found that consumers that live on the coast are more fish eaters than those in the Midwest.
Yeah,
so,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
no, I lived in Kansas City. I mean, believe me.
So you can attest
I also
to that.
Lived in Indianapolis. I mean, catfish is the only thing you got in those places.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So we really do have a wide variety of consumers. But as I mentioned, you know, we're realizing that our demographic is actually getting younger and younger because tinfish is such a trend on TikTok, on social media. So, you know, we're looking at marketing to them as well. And specifically working with different influencers, coming up with different recipes and content to share on social media, just to, again, you know, educate consumers and show them all the different ways to eat tinned fish.
Yeah. I mean,
do you smoke
things? Go ahead,
things?
Rabbit.
Do you smoke your the fishes?
There is a smoked fish in their repertoire.
Yeah, so we do have a lightly smoked sardine in extra virgin olive oil. It's a bone-in product, we just launched it about, I would say, a year or so ago. It's doing very well so far in grocery and online, and it's a beautiful product with that lightly smoked flavor and with the extra virgin olive oil. We actually just demoed it at the Expo West Natural Food Show, and Everybody loved it, so that was great to hear.
Well, Peter won't approach anything with bones in it. I mean,
please,
mother wouldn't eat anything with pips.
Yeah,
I mean, seeds.
Yeah, please don't worry about a negative effect from my mother. She passed away in.
I don't know, but anyhow, I'm sorry. No, we've told everybody. And by the way, when everybody, how do you get these? The authorization for being the healthiest product. I mean, who do you go to? I mean, I just sort of assume everybody says it, and then that's it. But, I mean, do you have, like, real studies about this?
Yes. Yeah, so, we always refer to the FDA guidelines. We're always working with the National Institute of Health on their database to, you know, just confirm the differences between our fish. We have done lab studies, you know, just to confirm the amounts of protein and omegas in our tinned fish. So, you know, we're always kind of doing research on that end. Being that we have such close relationships with our suppliers, we're able to run different analyses from them. So we're always looking at figuring out, you know, of course it's a natural product, knowing that things can change based on, you know, the size of the fish or the season. But, you know, we're able to really kind of take all that data and figure out what our claims can be. And, of course, we always go through our legal providers as well just to make sure that what we're saying is accurate.
Yeah, well, the thing that I find most amusing is I won't mention any particular brand, but it's one of the people that is glamorizing. I mean, she is an influencer, And she's very conscious of design, of the packaging and everything else. And the idea of selling tinned fish as a designer product would never mm-hmm. even have occurred to me, and that's what she's doing.
So, yeah.
Your fish, by the way, is much superior.
Thank you.
See, I didn't mention anybody's name, so. Okay, we've planted this idea that it's healthy, it's sustainable, it's shelf stable, mm-hmm. it's convenient, and so forth. How does one go about getting it? Now, you already mentioned Amazon. You can get anything on Amazon, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our full lineup on Amazon. So anyone can purchase there and can get it delivered to their home. We also are in Costco warehouses nationwide 365 days a year for 12 plus years with our
wow.
number one selling SKU, our skinless and boneless sardines and olive oil. That's by far our number one item. It's absolutely delicious and it always does well. We are also in different club stores such as BJ's. We're in Walmart's nationwide with various SKUs. We're in many different grocery stores as well. As I mentioned, you know, typically the Northeast region is our best-selling region because that's where our home base is, but we can be found essentially nationwide. You know, we're in ShopRite stores. We're in Kroger's. We'll be in Kroger's with our 4+1 sardines and olive oil SKU very soon. You know, we're in Meijer. There's many different retailers that we're in, so... You know,
these are all on your website listed. They're listed on your website.
So we actually don't have the store locator on our website, but we do link to Amazon because we know that on Amazon they can find any product on there.
You can get anything.
Exactly.
So you have to be very careful that we ended up getting two of something that I never thought would ever need two of.
Right.
You have to be really nimble on your keyboard.
Exactly.
Also, so it's tough to send it back.
Yeah, that's another problem.
Right.
Well, anyhow, listeners, I think that we're so far into this tinned fish era, I think, that you should be convinced by now that it's something that should be a regular part of your pantry. And when you're considering that, I would highly recommend seasoned sardines. And there's not a single thing I don't like about it, Sarah Kelly. And I really thank you for taking the time to talk to us about it and get the backstory on this really long-lasting, well-established company with a really well-proven track record on product development. So congratulations to you and continued success.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we're looking forward to another 100 years of serving up tinned fish.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.